Welcome to another Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Phil, I've heard recently that the mighty Tanunda Football Club are thinking about their Guernseys and what they're wearing. You're a Tanunda man. What can you tell us?
Yeah, they've gone back to their prison bar Guernseys for the away games only. I think we were lucky enough to see them the other week over at Freeling. And, of course, they started in the 20s and the 30s with the hoops, and I can't say that I can remember those. You might be able to, Rick.
That's a very harsh call.
But anyhow, they had the hoop. There's a hoop around there. And then they went to the black Guernsey, predominantly black with a white V, which I was lucky enough to play mini league in. I think they were just leftover jumpers from many years, and they got handed down. And played all my Colts through at Tanunda through in prison bars. And then in the 80s, we swapped over to the Collingwood jumper for some reason, rather than not too sure, Rick.
I was going to ask you that. It seems a bit odd since it was very part of the Tanunda history, the prison bars. And I guess the association with the huge success of Port Adelaide wearing prison bars, it's a bit odd to see them swap over to what we call the Collingwood jumper.
Yeah, look, and all my family are Port supporters, I guess, because of the old prison bar Guernseys. And I'm in big favour of the prison bars. I like the look of them, and their new Guernseys, I think they look really pretty schmick, don't they?
So are they just planning on using it as an away jumper, or do you think it might come back to home and away, or what do you think?
I believe they're only going to use them just away games at this stage. But I've got nothing to do with the Tanunda Footy Club at all anymore, but I'd like to see them wear them full time because I reckon they look pretty flash. They're really nice.
Well, I saw them run out last week in an away game, and I thought they looked fantastic. And I like the concept of the association of that prison bar jumper with success. And let's face it, whether you support Port Adelaide or Tanunda or any other black and white club, prison bar jumper symbolises more success than any other football club ever in the history of Australian rules football, I think.
Yeah, what is it, 37 premierships?
Yeah, something like that.
Port Magpies. So, I've been really pleased to see him come back and sort of brought back old memories, I guess, because I started in the mid-70s. Obviously in the black with the white V, and then we went on to the prison bars right through my Colts, and I played all my Colts in prison bars, and then played my 88 senior games that I played for Tanunda in Collingwood Guernsey. So, it didn't mean much to me then, but now I look back and I think the prison bars is where probably their history is.
Well, it is interesting reflecting back on the history of any club, of any sporting description or whatever. I don't know whether I'm right or wrong, but I've got a feeling I read somewhere where they actually had a different jumper again before the prison bars. Was it right? A black jumper with a white circle or something?
As I said, in the 20s and the 30s was a hoop.
All right.
And then they went to the 50s and they went to the prominently black Guernsey with the white V, which coincides with I played at Gummaraka for 4 or 5 years, and I'm lucky enough to play in a premiership there too. And
I thought you'd probably slip that in.
I had to slip that in. And they had the black Guernsey with the white V.
Did you come off the bench in the last
quarter? No, full forward, mate.
full forward.
It's hard to believe.
And how many?
Slow leading. And
and how many goals did you kick?
In the grand final, I think I only kicked two, but well held by a bigger and stronger opponent.
Oh, I find
but
that.
We won't go on with that. No. Anyhow.
I actually think the history, not that it's to do with Tanunda, but it's fascinating that particularly people who don't support the Port Adelaide Football Club, either in the AFL or the SANFL, love to bring up the piece of history that Port Adelaide started off in magenta and white. And magenta, to the best of my knowledge, is a pink colour. So pink and white doesn't, they obviously went in the right direction heading towards black and white.
It's funny you say that because I know Newry's Heritage Guernsey, I see them playing, they usually play Angaston. I think it's Anzac Day, I think they use the Heritage Guernsey. Only once a year, I think they use it. And it's blue and brown.
Oh.
So, yeah, Newry are blue and brown. We're originally blue and brown.
That's interesting.
Yeah, quite a khaki looking sort of a Guernsey, but
We might have to do a show on the history of all the different clubs. And
I quite enjoy seeing, you know, where their roots were back there, what Guernseys they were using, and I think it's quite good. But I'd like to see Tanunda go back to them, but that's only my opinion, and that's probably worth a real lot.
It is, yes.
This week's games, Rhett, we'll have a quick look at them. We've got Barossa versus Newry at Barossa District, obviously Williamstown.
Well, I'm drawn down to go and cover that game, and you are sitting down. I'm going to go for the upset of the season. I'm going to go for Newry, simply on the grounds that it's a must win for them. Well, it might not be if things fell in their way, but I can't believe it that they don't need to win it. And I'm, you know, surely Barossa, despite their strength, have got to lose one somewhere along the line. I'm going for Newry.
I'll go Barossa, but just looking, Newry have got a hard run home. They've got Capunda the next week, and then they've got Williston the last game. So they have got a hard run. Be a nice pickup for them if they could win this, but I'll go Barossa. Next game, we've got Gawler Central versus Freeling at Gawler Central at the Dog Track.
Oh, shut the gate. Freeling will win that by plenty, I think.
Yep, I'll go with Freeling too. South Gawler v Capunda at South Gawler.
Well, that would be the upset of the season. I've called a few Angaston games as upsets, but there's no way that Capunda aren't going to win that one.
No, I've got to agree with you on that one too. Getting back to Angaston, I see they had a good win last week, though, Rick.
Well, you know, strike me down. Believe it or not, I'm speechless. I cannot believe they won it.
Well, I tell you what, that loss there for Williston has cost them, because they're just sitting. They would have been sitting pretty, but now they're just back with the pack and outside of the four.
Oh, it's a huge loss. I mean, what more incentive did Williston need than to beat the bottom side and to beat them comfortably, and they got knocked over. So,
as we go on to the next game, is Tanunda and Williston. Well, Tanunda at home.
Well, on the form that I saw Tanunda last week, they didn't win, but as Coach Griffiths said, they've played the top two teams in the last 2 weeks and they've stood up for both of them. They've actually only played a couple of bad quarters in amongst that. And, you never know what. It's a bit like, you know, people say about anything, which team's going to turn up. But and that applies to Williston, obviously. But I'm going to go for Tanunda.
Yeah, I'll go for the Magpies at home too, I think. Yeah, that was a tough gig at home on the little postage stamp.
Very park. True.
That's
very
all
true.
It is. It's only a little oval. And Williston. Just getting back to Williston, I see they've got a hard run home. They've got South, and then they play Newry, which could be the game that decides whether they're in or out.
Yeah.
Rick, during the week I was just watching a bit of TV, and there was a St Kilda supporter there crying. Oh, what was that all about?
Well, I'll tell you, it's an amazing story. He'd actually just seen a coachload of Collingwood supporters go over a cliff, and he was absolutely crying his heart out. But you know why?
No.
There were 6 empty seats on the bus.
To all the Collingwood supporters.
Yes. Right, now we better move on, but we'll stick with we'll stick with footy again. I'm shocked by the very disturbing reports that are almost coming out regularly about the ugly parent behaviour in junior sport, and it's a very serious issue. Now, you're an umpire of many, many years and good standing. Have you ever had any problem with the behaviour of parents?
Look, I've got to admit, I probably, you know, other than just getting abused, you know, by the parent, and you sort of, you don't say too much, you know, you just sort of, I guess, not ignore it, but you might make a comment to your coach or whatever that, you know, hey, the Barossa, or I've just picked Barossa. Barossa parents were, you know, abusing. And it's pretty sad to see. But unfortunately, it's the parents at fault that their kids are going to be AFL stars. They all think they're going to be an AFL star. But you know what, Rick?
Very few of them are.
Yeah.
Well, I totally agree. Unfortunately, I have experienced a reasonable amount of it. I guess I was in the position of that being likely to happen, having spent most of my time being a sports coordinator at schools. As you've said, the trouble is they either think that their kids are going to be AFL stars, or they think they're going to achieve success through their kids because they never achieved the level that they wanted themselves. And unfortunately, I've seen it from a lot of people. Perhaps the most scary part is I've actually seen it from quite a few, well-known sports names, both male and female, who has seen that they really do see the ugly side of it. And I'm well reminded of back when I was talking about this stuff of an incredible quote from the legendary Ron Barassi, who many moons ago, and it's still true to this day, said the only thing wrong with children's sport are adults.
Yeah, fair comment too, that is. Glenn Archer was tied up something a few weeks back. But that all went pretty quiet, didn't it? I don't know.
AFL wanted it to go quiet, I would think, because of the image of the competition. I don't quite know. He might be still waiting. I think he has been charged with...
Something with the runner, I think. Got involved there.
It's a very sad thing, and I guess there's that happy medium between encouraging children or your own children to play as against force feeding them, and it's getting the right balance, I think. And unfortunately, the latest one is just disgraceful, where after a junior grand final, after a bit of controversy over a couple of 50 metre frees, which probably decided the result of the game, they had to lock one team and its parents in a change room before the police arrived. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
I mean, that's just not on. I mean, if that's happened, you know, that team should be banned or whatever. You know, that's as simple as it is. I mean, that's just out of control, isn't it?
And in fact, I think that's happened a couple of times in some of the local leagues in Adelaide where the children have behaved badly and the club has earned a suspension or a banning. Now, we haven't got a lot of time left, but I think it'd probably be remiss, and I know this is perhaps one of your more favoured subjects, but I think we'd be remiss not to mention the invitation that has been given to James Hird to hand out the Norm Smith medal for the best player at the grand final. Now, Phil, be controlled, but what do you think?
Well, drugs in sport again, isn't it, Breck? And it is a sore point for me. I don't like it. We were on drugs with the Olympics last week, and here we go again. I mean, obviously Hurdy had a pretty big finger in the pie there somewhere. I don't know to what extent, but, to ask him back and sort of almost crawl back to him is what I can gather has happened.
Well, I think, and it's only our personal opinions, and it doesn't mean that we know the absolute insides or not. But the fact of the matter is that it seems to me that the effect of the Essendon drugs or performance regime has had a ginormous effect on numerous players. I mean, you take even Henry Slattery. He was banned, even though he wasn't in the team that year, from doing anything with football, and therefore he couldn't coach Newry last year. You look at Joe Watson having to hand back his Brownlow before it was taken from him, I would suggest, to the $2 million fine, to the suspension of Essendon out of the finals. And I feel sorry for anyone who gets to a state of depression as Hird did and when he took his sleeping pill overdose. But I think if he'd actually come out as head coach and had taken some degree of responsibility for it, lots of people would think differently to the way they are. And I think it's far too early for the AFL to have said, well, we forgive you and let's go back to where we are. I think it's going to be very sad to see people booing at the grand final. I'll be very surprised if they don't.
I'd tend to agree. I think he came out so defensive. I think if he was a little bit more honest with it and just told the story as it was, but I think he tried to hide too much. And I saw the interview with Job Watson this week, and that was a pretty sad interview. Job, that's really affected Job Watson, hadn't it?
Oh, it has.
He was down in the dumps and just certainly depression or some sort of thing there. He's moving off overseas. Mm. And, you know, footy will be in his past. But that's pretty sad. I mean, it's affected him too.
Well, a wonderful player, having won a Brownlow medal, which anybody would put winning a premiership ahead of a Brownlow medal. But to have to hand it back in, under the circumstances that he did, he almost seemed like a broken man. Sure, he's played out a season of football, but the long-term consequences of that enhancing program are going to be felt for a long, 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 long time. And I'm not sure it's the right time for James Hird to be out on the big stage again. But there you go.
Yeah, I know. I tend to agree. I don't think it should have happened. And but they're going along with it. And I think he's accepted, I believe.
He has. Rick, yeah. He has. Anyway,
Just in finishing, look, I've got a pretty important day next. This coming Tuesday, I'm going to Merv Agars, who played 106 games for West Adelaide, 8 state games, and played district cricket, Rick. I don't know whether you knew that.
No, I didn't.
And he made 100 in his first innings.
Did he really?
And he wasn't out. He ran himself out. Yeah. So he passed away on the 8th of the 8th, and I'm going to his funeral this week. So rest in peace, Merv. He was a great journalist. Journalism's one of your... he's probably the best there was. I think it's 40-odd years, I think, he wrote
well,
for the Advertiser.
Incredibly well-respected and a humble man. Everybody I know who knew him talks about him as a very, very professional sports journalist and editor. And, yes, rest in peace.
Yeah, absolute gentleman. So thanks, Rick, for that.
No worries. Okay.
No worries.
This is the end. Until next week, this is Rick Drewer.
This is Phil Fechner.